All right, it is Tuesday, February 11th. I am sitting here in the Trump penthouse suite in Las Vegas, Nevada on night two, hoping to be back in Northport, Florida tomorrow night. Hopefully we get there in time to do the podcast. But anyway, one more time, got my brand new Trump shirt on, a lean work. There you go. Maybe a little bit of this so everybody can see. Got my brand new Trump shirt that I bought down in the Trump shop here at the Trump Hotel. And this Trump Hotel is awesome. By the way, I had a board meeting here today with one of the greatest preachers in America, Jonathan Shuttlesworth. And this hotel does not disappoint at all. And this room is awesome. All right, let's hop right to this now. Let me just go right to this one. Donald J. Trump, Truth Post. I am hereby instructed. This may sound silly to a lot of people, but you know what? To me, I love it. It's important. And you know what? If you don't have anything really big to do at the moment, do the small stuff. I am hereby instructing Secretary Lee Zeldin to immediately go back to my environmental orders, which were terminated by crooked Joe Biden on water standards and flow pertaining to sinks, showers, toilets, washing machines, and dishwashers, etc. And likewise, to go back to the common sense standards on light bulbs that were put in place by the Trump administration, but terminated once again by crooked Joe Biden. I look forward to signing these orders. Lee Zeldin is the director of the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. This wasn't included in this, but he's also talking about, or maybe he's already done it. He's talking about, or maybe he was joking, I don't know, but I saw an interview. He's talking about paper straws and how much he hates them. And you might as well like flavor them because you end up tasting them. So he's looking to outlaw paper straws because everybody hates them. And he's exactly correct. So these moves are all great. You can now be able to buy incandescent light bulbs again if you want them. Sometimes they're better. Sometimes they're not as good as LEDs, but we should have the choice, right? All right, so just little things right there. Let's go into this one now. And I meant to get to this last night, but I ended up running out of time. This is a Peter St. Ange video. It's Joe Biden's final jobs report. And what's real important with this is what the mainstream media is going to try to frame over the next few months is that this jobs report, because it's coming out of basically all of 2024, but it also leaks into January of 2025. And of course, it's horrible and all the jobs that the Biden administration claimed that they were creating end up being revised down. Again, just as an example, and I'm making up the numbers here, you'll hear a jobs report come out in October of 2024 that the Biden administration created 274,000 jobs. And that's front page on the Wall Street Journal, front page on the New York Times, while the New York Times is receiving Biden administration money via USAID. Always keep that in mind. Front page on Politico, as Politico is receiving Biden administration funding via USAID. So you saw them, you know, and again, say they just came out and said, you know, Biden administration, 274,000 jobs created in October. That's put on the front page. But then if you ever notice, and again, like I say on the podcast all the time, if you're like me and you have no life, you actually read what happens after that. And all of those job numbers would be revised down. And they're revised down on the back page or on page 7, whatever it may be. The new jobs that were fake are on the front page. The revisions down are all on the back page. And they're usually revised down. Well, it turned out that it wasn't 274,000 new jobs. It was 63,000 new jobs, and they're primarily going to illegals and or they are governmental jobs. So here's Peter St. Ange, Joe Biden's final jobs report. Play for me.
Joe Biden's final job report is out, and it's a doozy, a veritable orgy of revisions, kicking off with a massive Bureau of Labor Statistics revision that wiped out 589,000 imaginary jobs the Biden administration had been propping up until the election. Every single month of 2024 was revised down, and keep in mind, this is not the whole story. The Philly Fed thinks there's another 800,000 fake jobs lurking in these sweet nothings of Biden's finest government statisticians. Trump's new chief economist, Kevin Hassett, summed it up, quote, "The Biden job market was way worse than markets thought. There is a lot of cleaning up to do." Democrats and legacy media, of course, tried to pin the whole mess on Trump, touting it as, quote, "Trump's first job report when it covers the period before Trump even took office," and revises numbers Biden invented. Now, even more concerning than the revisions was job composition. nearly 70% of new jobs were either government workers or government-funded education social assistance, what the Wall Street Journal calls the welfare industrial complex. Just 45,000 jobs were created outside government out of an economy of 164 million workers. That is roughly one-third what the economy needs just to tread water. Note, all those government-funded jobs will have been bought with tax dollars. The government, of course, creates absolutely nothing. It only steals. This pumps up the national debt, which we will either have to repay with higher taxes or, as Biden had been doing, with inflation. Once again, full-time jobs were replaced by part-time jobs, a theme under Biden. Government counts both as a job, of course, but most people take part-time jobs because they can't find a full-time job, and yet they still need to eat. Finally, the report found that precisely 99.2% of new jobs in January went to foreign-born workers. Just 0.8% went to the native-born, who make up four-fifths of America's population, and in theory, 90% of America's voters, in case Dems wonder why they.
All right, so let's go over the numbers. Another 500,000 job revision down. So again, that's 500 less jobs than Joe Biden said that he created. And keep in mind that most of these jobs are government jobs or jobs going to illegals. But even with that, 500,000 of those jobs never actually existed. You're like, how could they make such big mistakes? How can these mistakes be made? They're not mistakes. They're purposely put out. They all know that they're lying, and they put them out anyway. That's on top. So the 500,000 job revision down, that's on top of the original. Remember this now? We covered this back in August of 2024. The Biden administration said that they had created about 1.2 million jobs, right, during their administration. Turns out that they were just a smidge off, just a little bit off on the 1.2 million. Oh, so Tom, you're saying it was, you know, 1.15 million, 1.12 million. No, they were off by 800,000 out of the 1.2 million that they claimed that they had created. So they claimed that they had created 1.2 million jobs, and it turns out that they only had created 400,000 jobs, actually less than 400,000 jobs. So they're only off by a little bit. And now there seems to be another revision of 800,000 jobs downward, looming somewhere on the near horizon. So Joe Biden's going to go well into the negatives on how many jobs they created. And just keep in mind that 70% of the new jobs that he allegedly created were either government jobs funded through via USAID. And again, I'm using USAID as a general term. It's government jobs funded by government, not our taxpayer dollars, but really, you know, like President Bukele said, out of El Salvador, it's just printed cash. It's not necessarily even our tax dollars. So 70% of the jobs that Joe Biden allegedly created were either government jobs or government-funded social assistance. These are they are saying a job is government-funded social assistance. They're calling that a job under the Biden administration. And again, it's the endless manipulation of numbers. It's not how many votes you get. It's who counts the vote. How many illegals crossed the border? We're not counting any illegals. This was the James Lankford border security bill that Chuck Schumer, you know, they all collaborated on. Chuck Schumer and Lankford collaborated on. And remember what that bill was going to be. And they all said that you couldn't shut down the border unless you had a bipartisan, cumulative border security bill, which is Trump completely, totally proved that wrong by shutting down the border in 3 days. But in that particular bill, you don't even start counting illegal border crossings until 5,000 actual Mexicans or 5,000 Canadians combined. So it has to be 5,000 Mexicans and 5,000 Canadians. Then you start counting. Because a lot of people said, well, they don't start counting until they've already allowed in 5,000. No. They only start counting after they allow in 5,000 Canadians or Mexicans, which they're not crossing the borders at all. They're coming from other countries. So that's when they finally start counting. So you can allow in 68,000 Guatemalans, Venezuelans, Costa Ricans, Russian, Chinese. That doesn't count against their numbers. So you allow in 30,000 from coming from those countries. And then finally, at the end of the day, you have 5,000 Canadians and Mexicans that actually cross. So they put in the number 5,000 instead of 35,000. See what I'm saying? That's how it works. That's how the government system works. That's when you see these jobs, they actually qualify a job as government-funded social assistance. 45,000 of 45,000 were created outside of government, totally. Out of all these jobs that Joe Biden says that he's created, 45,000 only were created outside of government. Of the 164 million worker pool that we have in the United States, so we have 164 million available workers. Joe Biden created 45,000 jobs for them. That's the greatness of the Biden administration. Remember, as he was exiting the Oval Office, he went up to various podiums and various interviews and various statements saying, I'm leaving the country in good hands. And you'll see still to this day, you'll see liberal pundits come out. Leftist pundits really need to make sure I'm calling them leftists because they're far from liberal. Leftist pundits come out and talk about Joe Biden's job numbers. These are the numbers they're talking about. That he created 1.2 million jobs. No, that was revised down. He actually lost jobs. And he lost full-time jobs every month. 99.2% of jobs went under the Biden administration. Just in January of this year. And this will be, they'll blame Trump for this. 99.2% of new jobs in January went to foreign-born workers. 0.08 went to Americans. That's the Biden administration, really, in a nutshell. All right, Manuel, let's go to another thing. We're in the Trump section of the show right now. Manuel Antonio Villagrana video. This is actually the older millennial speaking. Got a couple older millennial videos here at the first part of the show. Here's number one. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. I don't know if anybody has seen these videos yet, but there's a whistleblower that has come forward and said, under oath, by the way, under oath, person's name is Hadasha Feinberg, giving a statement under oath under penalty of perjury that Josh Shapiro, the governor of the state of Pennsylvania, orchestrated the Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt on Donald J. Trump. And here's just a 55 second video on that. Play it for me.
All right, look, so I have to be super careful about how I word this, because this is a very serious allegation against the Democrat governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro. In this affidavit, a federal whistleblower named Hadassah Feinberg alleges that Josh Shapiro, in his personal, individual, and official capacity, facilitated, organized, and carried out his plan to assassinate President Trump. She alleges that Governor Shapiro conspired and colluded with Pennsylvania officials, namely State Police Commissioner Christopher Paris, and that he used Commissioner Paris to not only facilitate the attempted assassination, but also to conceal it. She alleges that Shapiro and Paris's actions were willful and were not a security failure. Obviously, this is an extremely serious accusation. This is not something that can be ignored or thrown under the rug. Hadassah gave this testimony under oath. He gave this criminal affidavit under oath and under the protections as a federal whistleblower. Now we wait and see what happens next. This is a governor accused of trying to assassinate the president.
And again, we have to look at who Hadassah Feinberg is. And allegedly, Josh Shapiro was collaborating with the trooper commissioner to orchestrate this assassination attempt. Do I think any of this is true? I have absolutely no idea. But this is somebody coming up under whistleblower protections and under oath putting forth this statement. And we all know, I'm not going to rehash the Butler, Pennsylvania assassination attempt, although it's percolating in my mind right now. It's hard for me not to rehash it. Just a case in point with it real quick, where you have the building that is most needed to be secured is the one that's ignored. And that's, of course, where Thomas Crooks had secreted himself. But anyway, other than that, you look at the entire field and you're like, Tom, you're doing what you say you're not going to do. I know. But you look at this entire field and you're like, the one building that you really need to secure, building number one that needs to be secured, was completely and totally ignored and owned by a Democratic Party donor. But again, that's beside the point. And again, the really weird Pac-Man shaped security zone that suddenly the Secret Service put out, they put out a nice perfect perimeter, except suddenly it does an open mouth right around the building that is most needed to be secured. It's just very weird, isn't it? It's almost as if it was planned by outside sources. Am I saying that Josh Shapiro, the trooper commissioner of the state of Pennsylvania, did these things? I'm not saying they did. It's just very, very strange. Again, all right, let's go to the next one. Nick Sorter video. Holy crap. Kristi Noem has announced FEMA, get this now, FEMA has already resolved 80% of the Western North Carolina cases in just 5 days. And again, this was from a couple of days ago. Play for me, Heather.
President Trump came in and visited this community and in less than 20 days secured over $54 million for families in need and registered 2,600 families that needed assistance and hadn't gotten that type of help to get signed up for the programs that we have. In the past 5 days, we've decreased the number of open cases by almost 80%. President Trump is ensuring that communities aren't forgotten, and he launched the first major initiative to connect farmers with recovery assistance as well. Today, I had the chance to spend some time with Mark, who's a micro farmer in this area, and to talk about some of the FEMA programs that he's been able to utilize that have been incredibly helpful.
Now, of course, we all in Florida here remember Helene also, because we had to deal with the effects of Helene, basically 16, 17 hours before they did, up in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm just using Asheville as a summary. Of course, it hit Alabama, North Carolina, Tennessee, and other regions also, but mainly did its most destruction in Asheville, in the Western North Carolina area. Now, that you have to ask yourself, was it political bias that the Biden administration did nothing to help these people? Now, again, and I've challenged it, and you can send this into the podcast right now. Aaron is live. You send it into the podcast right now, and I'll if I can prove it, I'll play it. Show me any video of FEMA doing something positive. In North Carolina, in Tennessee, in Alabama, in reference to Helene. You always got to be specific because nut cases send you in anything. So you send me anything because I scoured social media. I scoured it looking for anything positive that FEMA did. We have FEMA helicopters that were scraping food distribution sites that did that and blew over all their food and all their tents and setups. We have that. We have FEMA sitting there behind a card table handing out brochures, and none of these cases, you get a case, they actually get like a case number signed. These open cases that Kristi Noem is talking about, how is it that Kristi Noem goes in there and in a matter of, we're in week number four of the Biden administration, but just at the very beginning of it. So we're 3 weeks in, and this, of course, video was from several days ago. 80% of their open cases have already been resolved. These people are living in tents, are no longer living in tents. People are not receiving the assistance they need to be receiving, are now receiving it 8 out of the 10 cases that the Biden administration left. And how many did the Biden administration actually, how many cases did they close? How many cases did they resolve? 0 out of 10. Because they've had to come in and Kristi Noem has come in with basically zero cases being solved and has come in and resolved 8 out of 10 of them, 80%, in a matter of just a few weeks or even probably a few days by the time she got on the ground. Because right here with Kristi Noem, former governor of the state of South Dakota, and now our DHS secretary taking the place of Alejandro Mayorkas, who is just the government showing completely. He's not inept. He's purposely evil, purposeful malfeasance, whatever, however you want to categorize Alejandro Mayorkas, both in his duties at the border and his duties with the Secret Service, his duties in disaster recovery, his duties over FEMA, everything else. Completely inept, completely incompetent, and purposely so. Kristi Noem comes in just a few days and resolves all the problems that Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas refused to solve because people in North Carolina are going to vote for Donald Trump, or because simply it doesn't politically benefit them to solve these various problems. But anyway, all right, let's go to the next one. Let's go to the border. Nick Sorter video, hashtag breaking. Tom Holman says DOJ has seemed to find out who it is that was leaking. And just to set the precedent for this video, there was leaks coming from somebody inside of the DOJ, because only people inside of the DOJ had operational knowledge of what the CBP was doing, ICE was doing under Tom Holman, under Kristi Noem. And people were getting, Tren de Agua members, illegal immigrants, people were getting warned, illegals were getting warned that Tom Holman was coming, that ICE was coming, and they were leaving the area. And again, like I said in a previous show, it ends up biting the leftists in the butt, because when they show up for Tren de Agua members and they're not there, but there are peripheral illegals there, they're the illegals who didn't necessarily commit a crime inside the United States. They committed a crime by entering the United States. They're getting deported. And then the leftist media will attack. Well, you're deporting people who haven't even committed a crime inside the country. That's because you're the ones tipping off Tren de Agua, so that when we get there, the only people that are actually there are the pseudo non-criminal criminal illegals. So here, Nick Shorter video, this is what Tom Holman says, has to say about it. Play for me.
Where are these leaks coming from?
Well, look, we think it's coming from inside. And we know the first leak of Aurora is under current investigation. We think we identified that person under investigation right now. The California leak, Secretary Noem, you know, she's correct. Some of the information we're receiving tends to lead toward the FBI. But I talked to the Deputy Attorney General all this weekend. They've opened up a criminal investigation. And they have promised that not only this person lose their job and lose their pension, they're going to go to jail. They're going to criminally prosecute. So we're all over it. We got the DHS IG investigating the first one. Have a pretty good idea what happened. Can't share a lot because it's under investigation. But the IG's opened up a criminal investigation on the second one. We're sending a strong message. It's just not, you know, giving the bad guys a heads up so they can escape apprehension. Right? Arresting, you know, giving, you know, the Venezuela gang a heads up so we can't arrest them. You're putting officers' lives at risk. It's only a matter of time if we walk into a place where there's going to be a bad guy doesn't care. He's going to be sitting and wait for the officers to show up and ambush him. This is not a game. So DHS and DOJ are connected at hip to hold these people responsible in a criminal fashion.
And the person who is possibly revealing, you know, these ICE raids, the person who's actually going out and revealing those things, the mole is most likely, I put the word most, it's likely an FBI, a member of the FBI. Very strange, of course, because the FBI is the Gestapo for the globalist left. So, you know, with these things, this is not, I think a lot of times as people on the left start to misconstrue and start to conflate that which is illegal and that which is political. They're like, hey, we're scoring political points. We're thwarting the efforts. We're thwarting the efforts of Tom Holman and DHS and ICE and CBP. We're thwarting those efforts by tipping off the people that they're coming for. And hey, we're winning a political victory. What they don't realize is that is obstruction of justice. And I'm assuming felonious obstruction of justice, because you are, as an officer of the law, tipping off a criminal. So, I mean, we're tipping off potential criminals and exposing other officers to a life and death situation that never needed to be that way, because if they weren't tipped off, they would have the element of surprise. So these people think, you know, this is a political thing. If I get caught, you know, they might, at worst comes to worst, I might get fired, you know, and again, inside of the, you know, the DC swamp, inside of the, you know, establishment, you know, bureaucracy of DC, they think, well, maybe I'll get a demotion or they'll reassign me. No, this is firing, this is losing your pension, and this is criminal prosecution. If it is determined that an FBI agent or a DHS agent, CBP agent, whatever it may be, ICE agent, tipped off people where the next ICE raid was going to be. I mean, this is getting to the place now where they're putting people's lives in jeopardy, and these people must be criminally prosecuted. All right, let's go to some good news. Daily Caller tweet. Two deportation flights carrying Venezuelan nationals flew back to Venezuela Monday, marking a major milestone for the Trump administration's aim of removing illegal migrant criminals from the United States. First deportation flights touched down in Venezuela. Now, again, that was, I'm trying to remember, was it J.D. Vance who went down there, or was it Marco Rubio went down there to meet with Nicolas Maduro? I think it was Marco Rubio. But anyway, there it is. It's done. Some negotiations, and we are actually landing planes in a country that is obvious opposition to the United States of America. I can't necessarily categorize them as an enemy of the United States of America, but definitely an oppositional country, a future possibly BRICS country. And with Nicolas Maduro, a communist dictatorship, authoritarian dictatorship run by Nicolas Maduro, but they have no choice because they're scared to death of Donald Trump, so they are taking the flights. All right, because like I told you earlier, got a couple older millennial videos right here at the start of the show. More from the border. What a surprise. And again, this is kind of blends into USAID, also blends into government funding. What a surprise about who is facilitating these illegals across the southern border. Lutheran Refugee Service. Play for me.
So just one more little tidbit about Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services, which, by the way, just changed their name to Global Refuge. Yeah, the timing of that name change isn't suspect at all. But anyway, that organization is run by Krish Omara, what that says. Now the question of, who is that? Well, Krish previously served in the Obama White House. She was a policy director for First Lady Michelle Obama. She also worked at the State Department as a senior advisor for guess who? Hillary Clinton. I just wanted to ask, is anyone surprised?
So there you go again with the endless circle bleep symbiote where life has become exceedingly transparent now, exceedingly easy to understand. It really has. And again, I'm using USAID as a symbol because it's only 1% of the money that's being funneled to Democrats. And it seems overly simplistic to even use the word Democrats. They are all Democrats, ALOs, maybe some Rhino Republicans, but they are all Democrats. But really what they are is globalist, leftist, bourgeois elitists, and they're Democrats inside the United States of America, Liberal Party in Canada, and numerous other countries. You can identify them, obviously, by party affiliation. But here we are, friends of Clinton. How it works, of course, used to be part of the Department of State, affiliated with this person, affiliated with that person, worked for this person, worked for that person. Of course, all leftists. And now she just happens to run Lutheran Refugee Service and is receiving tens of millions, hundreds of millions, maybe billions, getting paid an exorbitant amount of money to run this organization called Lutheran Refugee Service. So we've picked hard on, Catholic Family Services, Jewish Family Services, these NGOs at the border receiving hundreds of millions and even over time, tens of billions, maybe even hundreds of billions of dollars as they facilitate illegals across the border, facilitate child sex trafficking across the border, facilitate child labor trafficking across the border, and just overall facilitate illegals across the border, facilitate fentanyl across the border. It's all being done by outfits like Lutheran Refugee Service, Catholic Charities, and Jewish Family Services. And one little shot here on the side, little shot from the side. Trump gets in office. She starts to see the head of the Lutheran Refugee Service, now called Global Refuge. Imagine actually believing that will work. I mean, as a leftist, I guess maybe you've been doing the Potomac two-step so long, these simple little obfuscation lies that you tell all the time. You think that just works and everyone just kind of ignores you and continues to funnel money to you. That's not going to happen under Doge. So you think it's going to work. You think that you're just simply going to, and numerous government officials that have been fired since, did little name changes from CRT or from DEI, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion. There would be a DEI division inside or, a DEI office, a DEI manager, whatever it may be, DEI supervisor in some government office. And then they change their name to something else, employment management. And they think that's going to throw Doge off. It's going to throw Trump off. It's going to throw Elon off. It's not. Neither will change your name at the last minute to Global Refuge. We all know where the money went. We all know what the money went there for. I already named it. Child sex trafficking, illegal trafficking, child labor trafficking, and fentanyl trafficking. So, and again, what you have is the endless symbiote of money being given to organizations that give it to Democrats. And they give it to them in numerous ways, either funding campaigns or funding Democrats to run these organizations. That's how it is. You and I, it's like I said in the last podcast, life-changing money. If you're somebody at Politico and you've received $34 million for Politico Pro subscriptions, which means nothing. You get the exact same thing for Politico Pro that you do for getting Politico, which, again, is just a leftist rag. But the reason why they're a leftist rag is they're being paid to be a leftist rag. They're being paid to, again, if your benefactor is Joseph Robin and Biden to the tune of $34 million, are you not going to espouse that which Joe Biden wants you to espouse? If you're being funded by Pfizer, would you not espouse that which Pfizer wants you to espouse? If you're being funded by Moderna, which is in partnership with Anthony Fauci and the NIH, Are you not going to espouse that which they want you to espouse? If you are being funded by EPA, by the EPA under the climate change hoax, and you're some sort of a weather NGO, and you're given $1 billion a year, are you not going to report back that CO2 is a problem? If you don't, you lose your money. Of course they're going to do that. And that's what this is, this entire world. It's now really coming out that the Democratic Party is nothing without full government spending, without full government dollars, without being funded fully by the United States government. Their media is funded by the United States government. You and I are paying for the propaganda that speaks out against us and speaks out against us having free speech, that speaks for us being censored and banned. So this is just another exposure of how it works. Joe Biden gives money to an NGO that pays Hillary Clinton sycophants hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to run an NGO that's given, say, $1 billion a year to facilitate illegals across the border. But then that money's also used for numerous other things because it ends up with that NGO makes a donation to another NGO, makes another donation to another NGO. And all of these NGOs are paying Democrats to run the NGOs. That's what's happening. That life really has gotten a lot easier. Let's debunk a classic myth here since we're still at the border. Another Democrat, this is a Wall Street Apes video, Wall Street Apes writes, another Democrat lie exposed. Illegal aliens, how many times have you heard this? From Kamala, from Alejandro Mayorkas, AOC, Anna Presley, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar. Illegals in this country are paying taxes. Illegals in this country, give a lot of money back into the economy. That was absolutely incorrect. Illegal aliens in this country did not pay $95 billion in taxes. That's what's always espoused. Not even federal or state combined. Listen to the actual numbers. Play for me.
Illegal aliens in this country did not pay $95 billion in taxes, not even federal and state combined. So the federal expenditures was $66 billion. And in federal income tax, illegal aliens in this country only paid $16 billion. So they netted $50 billion in federal benefits, okay? And then let's break down state and local. So state and local expenditures, they cost the taxpayers $115 billion. They only paid in $15 billion to state and local tax, okay? So they are costing, the national total expenditure is $182 billion, and they're only paying into the system $31 billion. They cost our country $150.7 billion in 2023 alone.
All right, so here's the actual numbers. Aliens in this country did not pay $95 billion in taxes as espoused by the Democratic Party. So they, again, the Democratic Party can fund NGOs to help illegals, because after all, the illegals are paying $95 billion in taxes. That's absolutely incorrect. They're actually paying just a little off of that, $16 billion in taxes. Not $95 billion, $16 billion. Federal expenditures on illegals was $66 billion last year. Illegal aliens in this country only paid $16 billion in taxes. So we lost $50 billion on them. That they netted $50 billion in federal benefits, state and local expenditures. You and I lost $50 billion. Illegal immigrants, a lot of them 30,000 murderers and rapists, 495,000 convicted criminals. And now the other people, we don't know whether they're convicted criminals or not. It's impossible to do a background check on somebody with no photo ID from another country. So they cost cost taxpayers $115 billion. They only paid $15 billion to state and local tax. So they are costing, the national total expenditure is $182 billion, and they're only paying into the system $31 billion total. They cost our country $150.7 billion in 2023 alone. 2024 numbers are not out yet. So that's an absolute lie. Well, at least they're paying for themselves. Completely wrong. Not even close to paying for themselves. Not even close. All right, let's go to Doge now. Mischief video. This is just a great little summation by Bill Maher, of all people. It's just, when Bill's on, he's on. When he's off, he's off. Bill Maher, he actually knows what's true, but he's afraid to lose his audience, so he bends the knee. That's what you never do. So he doesn't have a whole lot of credibility because of that. But when he says something good, it's really good. So Mischief Video, this is a great example of government spending. Play for me.
San Francisco, which is unfortunately the poop capital of the world, wanted to build a single public outdoor toilet. The bid came in at $1.7 million for a toilet, and it would take 3 years to build. Then a company came along and said, you know what, we're going to donate it and pay for the installation. So donation of the thing itself and installation, oh, there you save $1.7 million. This is the problem I have with government. The cost, said the San Francisco Chronicle, isn't the project. It's project management.
Yeah.
In other words, it would still cost $1.2 million, even though the thing itself and the installation was free. Why? Construction management, engineering fees, permits, civic design review, surveys, contract preparation, cost estimate. This is the bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
That sucks all the money out of America.
This right here is not hyperbolic. This is a true story. You want to build a toilet, out, unless it's for Xi Jinping, in the city of San Francisco, used to be run by Gavin Newsom, and numerous other Democratic politicians. But Newsom now obviously is governor of state of California. But anyway, so in San Francisco, London Breed's now the mayor, another radical leftist. But you want to build a toilet, a simple public toilet, one toilet. $1.7 million for the toilet, and it'll take you a year to build it. Why would it cost? Obviously, it would never cost any, but $1.7 million to build even an entire restroom facility. That would never be the case. But just one toilet, $1.7 million. And then what was said was, you know what? If someone just donated the $1.7 million, okay, it would still cost $1.7 million. Because it's the project management that actually costs. The toilet itself probably costs 10 grand, if that. But it's the management of stuff. So if someone just paid it, just donate, you know what, I want to donate to a public toilet, which is what we're all doing when we pay our federal income taxes. But anyway, then we're going to pay, I'm donating the money as a multimillionaire to build this toilet in London Breed, San Francisco, right? Adam Schiff, San Francisco. Kamala Harris is San Francisco. Willie Brown's San Francisco. I donate the money, so it's not going to cost you anything. It would still cost the taxpayers $1.2 million, even after a full funded donation for the project. Fully funded project via donation. Still cost that because that has to be managed. So then people get to have jobs. I get to be the supervisor over permitting. I get to be the inspector. I get to be the DEI over the Office of Inspectors, all the different titles that people get to have. This is a great summation of Washington, D.C. Nothing is ever actually accomplished. Anything that does takes an exponentially long period of time to actually get something done. But nothing, the cost is never the cost. The dollar figure is never the cost. It's the people who have jobs around the project themselves who are not needed. DEI coordinators, supervisors, committee chairmen, whatever. I can't think of all the office terms, but that's just a great summation of how the government works. All right, let's go to this one. Laura Loomer tweet. Now, we know that Trump is being sued by Democrats in, of course, and I won't go too deep into my usual rhetoric on this, but of course, what they're doing is judge shopping, and Democrats are going to blue jurisdictions with blue judges, blue juries, blue grand juries, and blue appellate courts. That's how they got all the convictions, the quote-unquote convictions with Bannon, Navarro, Roger Stone, Michael Flynn, Donald Trump, all red people in front of blue judges, blue juries, blue appellate courts, and blue prosecutors, of course. So Donald Trump is being sued for, sued for injunctions to stop his various programs that he is doing through Elon Musk and Doge, whether it's stopping federal spending or firing employees, putting out his February 6th ultimatum, if you either show up to work or you're fired. Imagine a boss insisting that 2 million people actually show up at their jobs that they're getting paid six figures to do. So Laura Loomer tweet, got a list of the judges here. Judge John McConnell, the federal judge from Rhode Island, who ordered the Trump administration and Doge to unfreeze billions of dollars. Who gives a United States district judge the power to control the administrative branch of freaking government? And I'll just flat out say it. Donald Trump needs to ignore them. Joe Biden certainly did. Joe Biden was ordered, quote unquote, via ruling and, you know, obvious and now precedent from the SCOTUS that he was not allowed to pay off student loan debt. And he did it anyway. It was one of his last announcements as president. He's paying off, I believe it was another $70 million worth of student loan debt. So you and I can pay for DEI graduates of humanities programs from New York University. So this judge now, you know, the judge comes out and he makes a unilateral decision. He orders the president of the United States as a United States district judge, I believe I'm going to write it right in here, out of Rhode Island. Again, judge shopping, blue jurisdiction, blue judge, blue prosecutor, everything. Why isn't any of this happening in, say, Nebraska, Oklahoma, Florida, not Texas? No, it's all in blue jurisdictions where you can find a simpleton, leftist, political activist judge like John McConnell. But John McConnell, the federal judge from Rhode Island, who ordered the Trump administration and Doge to unfreeze billions of dollars, ordered them to unfreeze billions of dollars in federal grants. And remember, none of these grants had anything to do with people's day-to-day needs. And I don't even believe in the day-to-day needs, just for the record. A lot of it's just absolute abuse that Elon Musk is already revealing in Medicaid, Medicare, and everywhere else. And I can't wait till the Social Security books are open. But they made sure Donald Trump's smart. It's a politically expedient thing to do, is to come out and say, we're not stopping anybody's welfare. We're not stopping anyone, although we should. Certainly should drug test them before they ever get a welfare payment. But anyway, we're not stopping anybody's welfare. We're not stopping anybody's food stamps. We're not stopping anybody's Medicare, Social Security, nothing. No daily payments. We're just stopping federal grants into NGOs that benefit Democrats. If there is no NGO that doesn't benefit Democrats, and there's not one NGO that benefits you and I, and there's not one NGO that benefits Republicans. So he tells Trump to unfreeze billions of dollars of federal grants. The problem is he has a daughter who currently works for the U.S. Department of Education who's receiving these grants. So shouldn't McConnell, Juan Merchan style, shouldn't he have recused himself? Like Juan Merchan should have recused himself when his daughter is financially benefiting to the tune of $10 million off the trial that her dad is presiding over? I think so. But his daughter works for the U.S. Department of Education as a senior policy advisor and was appointed by Joe Biden in February of 2022. I got to look around the camera. Which is a conflict of interest since Trump and Doge are planning to defund the Department of Education. Kind of funny how he then can see that Department of Education funds are about to be frozen, and his daughter works for the Department of Education. What's her job again? Let me see here. You went to the next one. Go back for me, would you please? Go back to the one before. Don't flip till I tell you to flip now. Don't flip till I tell you to flip. So his daughter works for the U.S. Department as a senior policy. There's one of those positions. Senior policy advisor. What the crap is a policy advisor? Why would you need a policy advisor, let alone a senior policy advisor? And how does she become a senior policy advisor when she was hired basically just 3 years ago? So here you have a judge making sure that his daughter's paycheck keeps coming. That's it. He should have recused himself. Now, Heather, go to the next one for me. All right, John J. McConnell, chief judge of the U.S. District Court in Rhode Island, ordered the Trump administration to immediately restore frozen funding. He does not have the power to do so. They rule on established law. They rule, get this now, get the nuance. They rule on established law. They don't establish law. They rule on law that's already established. Trump administration to immediately restore frozen funding and accused the Trump administration today of failing to comply with his prior order to unfreeze funding. Good. Never comply. What's he going to do? We all need to ask ourselves these questions. What is a federal judge going to do? The chief judge of the U.S. District Court in Rhode Island. What is he going to do? He's got no police to send. He can't issue a warrant. He may be able to issue a warrant, but he can't execute a warrant. It's out of his jurisdiction. The reason why Judge McConnell, a Democrat donor and activist, wants Trump to restore fundings because his daughter, Catherine McConnell, is currently employed by the same Department of Education that President Trump and Elon Musk, going around the camera again, want to audit and to fund. She was appointed by Joe Biden, and now her dad is abusing his power. Go to the next one for me. To protect her paycheck. This is a conflict of interest that Judge McConnell should have recused himself over, but he chose not to. He ruled against President Trump and for his daughter and abused his judicial power to protect his daughter's livelihood at the bloated U.S. Department of Education. So there you go. This is all it's about. Again, it's funneling money to some Democrat because we know that Catherine McConnell obviously voted for Joe Biden because she was appointed by Joe Biden. So you and I get to pay her salary simply because she voted for Joe Biden as a senior policy analyst or whatever the title was. So again, it's just the endless symbiote of our taxpayer dollars that not only are funding NGOs, but funding useless positions in a government entity like the DOE that shouldn't even exist, and or funding NGOs that then donate to another NGO that then donate to a campaign of a Democrat, and those campaign funds are used to pay millions of dollars to the spouse of the person running for office, or the NGO is actually run by the CEO of the NGO is a Democrat who's receiving $500,000-$700,000 a year to run that NGO. All right, let's go to the next one. Rep. Eli Crane tweet, I'm drafting articles of impeachment for U.S. District Judge Paul Engelmeyer. Tom, you said it was McConnell. No, there's more. There's at least three judges involved. Partisan judges abusing their positions is a threat to democracy. The left has done irreparable harm to this country. President Trump and his team at Doge are trying to fix it. Go to the next one for me, Heather. Retro Coast tweet, here's Engelmeyer's why would Engelmeyer, what he did was he blocked Doge and he blocked the Secretary of the Treasury from being able to access the Treasury. That's now been walked back. Now Bessent is allowed to actually walk into his own office. And I hope this was never obeyed. Trump probably is playing some 4D chess here, probably is holding back because he doesn't want to deal with any more than he has to deal with, any more controversy than he has to deal with. But now, it was initially, Engelmeyer banned the Secretary of the Treasury from accessing Treasury records, and I believe even entering the Treasury building. And now that's been lifted. But Doge is still blocked from going into the Treasury. And part of the reasoning behind that is, how dare these Doge people have access to our records? Well, how dare federal employees have access to our records? How dare they? It's just rudimentary federal employees. It's just me and you working in an office. They have access to our records. They're writing checks. They're able to access their Social Security files. They're just rudimentary federal employees. What makes them above another federal employee working for Doge? Elon Musk works for free. Everybody under him doesn't. And the Doge workers that are in Treasury that are actually doing the Treasury audit are Treasury agents. Or Treasury employees may not be called agents. So Judge Retro Coast tweet, Judge Paul Engelmeyer's wife, Emily Mattistam, never a good sign when you have two different last names, but an obvious sign of liberalism, for an open borders, here it is again. NGO called the New York Association for New Americans. Guess who funds it, everybody? Go ahead, put it in the chat. Guess who funds it? It's funded by USAID. So you have her husband now who blocks access to the people who are trying to block her paycheck. And Eli Crane is drawing up articles of impeachment, submitting articles of impeachment to go after Judge Paul Engelmeyer. That's a good thing. Let's go to the next one. Here's another one for you. Charlie Kirk tweet. Federal Judge John Bates, that's three, Tom. That's right. Has ordered the Trump administration to restore. Ordered the Trump administration. You're like, Tom, get past it. Well, you already know. I know, but that was the first one was a federal judge. That was John McConnell. Orders the Trump administration to unfreeze grants that his daughter benefits from. And then you have Paul Engelmeyer, who orders that Doge be blocked from entering into Treasury and that the Treasury Secretary be blocked from entering into the Treasury building. And that since has been lifted, but Doge is still on. And his wife receives money from Open Borders. Well, this is the Open Borders. No, the Open Borders NGO. This gets confusing. There's three different cases here. And now you got John Bates has ordered the Trump administration to restore HHS, CDC, and FDA websites providing information on sex change operations and gender ideology. He looks like a guy that'd be interested in that. No federal judge can compel the government to assist in the mutilation and destruction of children. The Trump administration should refuse. So what you have here is, of course, a Democratic Party activist who believes in lopping off penises, testicles, and breasts of 13-year-old kids. That's what he believes in. Probably very, very close friends with Senator Wiener out in California, State Senator Wiener out in the state of California, who lowered the criminal penalties against people who anally rape children. That's a fact, and Governor Newsom signed it. There you go. That's who these people are. That's who the globalist leftist bourgeois elitists are. And that's why they want an open border for sex trafficking, obviously. For child sex trafficking, specifically. It's funny how he targets in on HHS, CDC, and FDA websites providing information on sex change operations and gender ideology. Strange how he focuses in on that, isn't it? All right, let's go to the next one. Still in Doge. We're going to be in Doge for a little while here. All right, Elon Musk tweet. The Doge team just discovered that FEMA, this is a little bit old, but there's new information on it now. And more I just want to share with you just for fun. The Doge team just discovered that FEMA sent $59 million last week to luxury hotels in New York City to house illegal migrants. Now it's turned out that those FEMA employees were doing that in direct contradiction to their supervisory orders and the owners coming from the Oval Office. Sending this money violated the law and is in gross insubordination to the president's executive order. The money is meant for American disaster relief. This was under FEMA. Weren't we told that FEMA never spent money on illegals? Weren't we told that? Although we found out that FEMA spent $28 million on a illegal alien welcome center in San Diego, California. That money, and far more than that, it's just an example. That money is meant for American disaster relief and instead is being spent on high-end hotels. Not only is it FEMA, not only was this a violation of a direct order, but it was spent not on hotel or motel sixes, not even on Holiday Inn Expresses. This was spent on Ritz-Carlton hotel rooms for illegals because nobody has any regard for money that isn't their own. Let me show you a quick video from Alex Jones. That's the next one, Heather Lope, next one for me. The Alex Jones video, the four FEMA employees who did this were fired. Play for me.
We received a statement from the DHS regarding the $59 million sent from FEMA to New York City migrants last week. Quote, four employees being fired today for circumventing leadership and unilaterally making the egregious payment for hotels for migrants in New York City. There's going to be firings. The names are going to be out. And let's bring in New York Congressman Mike Lawler. Congressman, your thought about that move?
Well, it's long overdue, frankly. These funds have been misappropriated going back to the Biden administration. And New York City, a sanctuary city, has been wasting billions of dollars of taxpayer money, billions with a B, to provide free housing, clothing, food, education, and health care to illegal immigrants, including criminal aliens that are here illegally.
All right. So there it is. Now they've been fired. That's a good thing. But $59 million just flippantly spent on high-end hotels, luxury hotels, spent on illegals. Now, Aaron, you can actually run these next two videos. Nick Sorter, hashtag breaking Dem rep Anna Presley, Nick Sorter video breaking Elizabeth Warren. You can run these consecutively. Just run them together and then give me a countdown. But here's just reactions from Democrats when they're confronted about this USAID funding, this FEMA funding, this waste of billions of dollars on NGOs, waste of billions of dollars on Politico, on the New York Times. Here's their response to galactic government waste. Play for me.
Congressman, what do you have to say about the fact that FEMA just spent $59 million housing illegal immigrants while people in Western North Carolina lived in tents for the past past 4 months. What do you have to say about that? Do you accept that? Do you accept that? Do you accept the fact that, because Doge exposed that today, it sounds like you have a big problem with the fact that Doge... I'm not blocking her. Are you okay with that? Do you condemn the fact that Doge exposed FEMA for sending $59 million to house illegal immigrants today?
Excuse me, sir.
Do you condone that?
Excuse me, sir.
I don't know who the
I don't
are.
Know who. I tell you what. If I don't know who you are. Let's go. You're in the way.
I'm not in the way.
You are in the way.
Okay, then get out of my way. Oh, what's that look?
Shut down.
So Senator Warren, why are you so afraid of transparency? Why are you bothered by the fact that Elon Musk is attempting to expose all of this fraudulent spending? What is that about? What is the problem here? What is the problem with transparency? Do not touch me. Do not touch me. Senator Warren, I just want to answer a question. How did you get a $12 million net worth on a $200,000 salary in Congress?
Thank you.
How did you do that?
Excuse me.
How did you do that? You can keep trying to block my camera. We're on a public sidewalk, so...
So you don't want to answer that question. What is it about Doge that's such a problem to you? You just elbowed me, Senator. I got that
excuse
on camera.
Us, excuse us. Thank you.
Transparency is your enemy.
Again, just a few comments, some on topic, some off topic. But first of all, nobody has the right to push reporters out of the way. Nobody's blocking anybody. He's not touching her. And how is it that, again, we're $37 trillion in debt. How do these people have this many staffers around them? I mean, again, these are our representatives. They're not our rulers. They don't get Secret Service protection, at least not 24/7. And who are these staffers? Because these staffers, and how much do they get paid per year to walk around? One of them has had Elizabeth Warren by the hand leading her to the car. And how are they, like Elizabeth Warren, sitting there with a giddy little smile on her face? We're $37 trillion in debt, and you've put us there. And Joe Biden's last budget was $4 trillion worth of income coming in through taxes. And so tax revenue, $4 trillion. And his budget was $6.8 trillion. So $2.8 trillion added to the debt. And you walk around with a smile on your face as if you're above it all. And you know what I always say to these people is, do you not realize that you are actually sowing the seeds of your own demise? Because if we're $37 trillion in debt, and there's a margin call on that debt, everything you have is meaningless also. Everything you have is valueless. Your dollar's valueless. Your mansion's valueless. Your gold is valueless. Everything's valueless. You're sowing the seeds of your own financial demise. But they act like, and they smile, that giddy little smile, as if they're above it all and untouchable. They have this. They're part of the same federal, you know, sadly, Federal Reserve System that you and I are a part of. Then it's just that always, that simply always amazes me how they seem to be detached from actual reality. And Iona Presley, again, she just stands there and acts like it's not her problem. And they're sitting there espousing. Imagine that being your platform of continue to give money for transgender coloring books in Peru and transgender surgeries in the Philippines. I mean, imagine that being your platform, that you and I are paying for absolutely ridiculous things overseas that have nothing to do with the national security interests of the United States of America. All right, Heather, go to the next one for me. Fox News tweet, horrifying, a new bombshell report from USAID that found that USAID doled out millions of dollars, not just to worthless things, not just to horrible things, not just for trans surgeries and trans plays and DEI programs, but they're also actually not just to media outlets. You realize that there are no leftist media outlets without you and I paying for them via USAID, Politico, New York Times, Reuters, the BBC, they're getting our funding to ban our speech. They're getting our funding to propagandize against us. But not only did that money go there, and to many other things, I should have brought my list with me to Las Vegas, but a new bombshell report found USAID doled out millions of dollars to groups tied to extremism, with at least $122 million going to groups aligned with designated terrorists and their supporters. So we're funding terrorism. Again, that's very simple, because we already knew that we were sending $59 million to Gaza for them to buy condoms. And we know that that was never going to be used to buy condoms. It was going to be used to build tunnels and buy weapons. So you and I are funding genocide against Israel and genocide against America on October 7th, unwittingly funding it, but we are funding it. All right, go to the next one for me. Alex Jones video, new Doge target incoming, the Pritzker family. Play it for me.
The Pritzker family, a prominent political family, apparently has 64 NGOs. Again, this is just one single NGO, and you're seeing a lot of people working for no compensation. They're just a trustee of some sort. Everybody else is being paid upwards of $250,000. Senior VP for policy research, $400,000 a year being paid for that. Strategy affairs being paid $330,000 a year. VP, $300,000 a year. And again, they've got 64 of these. This is all paid for by your tax dollars, by the way. That's all your money. So you get these families in government. It's almost just like a thief who figured out that the bank vault door got left open.
This is absolutely huge, and we're finding out about this in less than a month, 3 weeks and a day. It's Tuesday the 11th. It's 3 weeks and a day. We're finding out about this. Just a quick question. Are there really any Democratic Party billionaires that weren't created by our taxpayer dollars? I've been saying it for a long time that J.B. Pritzker is a millionaire because he is, because his sister's involved with the rebuilding of Ukraine, another NGO funded thing via the IMF. And now we're finding out that J.B. Pritzker's family has 64 non-government organizations, NGOs, that are taking in millions of dollars. So are there really any leftist billionaires and millionaires that aren't simply billionaires and millionaires because they're receiving money from government entities that are receiving taxpayer dollars, making them millionaires so they can then funnel it into Democratic Party campaigns? I mean, this is very Biden-esque. You had the 23 shell companies. I'd love to, when the Biden records get open, I wonder how much government money went into funding Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Because J.B. Pritzker has 64, this is the governor of the state of Illinois, 64 NGOs that are taking millions from you and I. So once again, we are propping up our own opposition. We're propping up the Democratic Party. And J.B. Pritzker has been one of the most outspoken opponents of Doge, opponents of the border policy. Most outspoken. I wonder if it's because he gets NGO money if we have an open border and doesn't get NGO money if we have a closed border. So again, are there really any leftist billionaires and millionaires? Bernie Sanders was a billionaire and millionaires. Do they actually exist without government money? Without government subsidies? I'm wondering. All right, go to the next one for me. Dr. C video. This one will piss you off. This is Tucker and this is Ukraine. Play it for me.
Last weekend, I had a meeting in a ski resort in the Alps, which is probably the most expensive town in the world. I was not there to ski, for the record. But the whole town is Ukrainian. You know, all the visitors are Ukrainian. And they're rolling into Hermes and dropping $1 million in an afternoon. All through Europe, you see this. The richest people are the Ukrainians. That money is ours. It belongs to me and you and every other American taxpayer. That's where it's going. Second fact, not guess, fact is the Ukrainian military is selling a huge percentage, up to half of the arms that we send them. Half. And I'm not guessing about this. I know that for a fact, not speculation. And a lot of us winding up with the drug cartels on our border. This is a crime, what's happening. Our intel agencies are fully aware of this. You tell me they're not profiting from this. Of course, you think the CIA is not profiting from this? Yes, they are. Can't prove that, but I believe that. But they don't know this. I know this, but they don't know this. They know this. No one is saying it. Like, no American seems aware of this. We're sending these arms to Ukraine, billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's being stolen and sold to our actual enemies. Like, what the...
So there you go. And this is another just absolute classic example, just the rudimentary stuff first. So Tucker's over there and Tucker's in the know. Tucker's been doing this for 40 years. He's in the know, over 40 years. So he knows what's going on. No, he's only 50, I think. So over 30 years. But anyway, he said the richest people that you see in Europe are Ukrainians. How's that possible with war-torn Kyiv? How's that possible? Again, simple filtration of money. The entire Ukraine war is created. It was over long before it ever started. Remember, I've talked about it a million times. It was over. You had the Prime Minister of Israel brokered a deal between Volodymyr Zelensky and Vladimir Putin. Basically, all the deal was is Volodymyr Zelensky saying, you know what, we're not going to go into NATO. Done deal. Boris Johnson goes over there, really at Biden's request, and starts the thing back over again by telling Ukraine, no, you have to be in this war and we want you to be part of NATO. So they started it back up again and then promised to fund the entire thing. So what happens is this. So they're going to make it simple with simple math. They send $1 billion to Ukraine. Now, and it's all for weapons. Now, we know that, but I'm going to play the video in a second. That Volodymyr Zelensky has said out of the 250, now he says 177 million or whatever the 177 billion, but it's really, according to Steve Bannon, about 250 billion has been sent over. And Zelensky says, I've only received 75 billion. He received it all sort of, but it's all sent over there under the umbrella of, or under the moniker of, weapons for Ukraine. But it goes to, you know, various oligarchs. But then it also, it on purpose, sent quote unquote to Ukraine, but then it actually ends up going to an NGO at the border. And the NGO is run for $500,000-$600,000 a year by a Democratic Party activist. And then the chief executive officer who gets paid $585,000 a year is a Democratic Party activist. And their CFO is a Democratic Party activist. You have 30 or 40 multi-hundred thousand dollar a year jobs underneath that NGO, and they're all Democratic Party activists being paid $300,000 to $1 million to $2 million a year. So that's where our Ukraine weapons funding is going. That's how it works. That's the $59 million for condoms in Gaza. No, that went for weapons in Gaza. And it was probably funneled to other NGOs elsewhere where you have a Democrat running it. And or it gets to one that NGO until it finally goes to five NGOs and ends up at an NGO where it's difficult to trace, where you have a bunch of Democrats running the NGO and funding Democratic Party or leftist initiatives around the world, Democratic Party or campaigns or leftist initiatives around the world, all for the purpose of leveraging you into one world commerce system. So everybody remembers this video. This is backing up what Tucker said. Wall Street Apes video. We need a full audit of the money going into Ukraine. Play for me, Heather.
Дивіться, я коли чую, і раніше чув, і сьогодні ми чуємо від Сполучених Штатів Америки, що Америка дала Україні сотні мільярдів. 177, якщо сказати більш точно, така звучала точна цифра, яку підтримували або голосував Конгрес, тощо різні організації. Дивіться, я як президент воюючої країни вам говорю, ми отримали більше 75. Тобто 100 мільярдів з цих 177 або 200, говорять навіть деякі люди, ми ніколи не отримували. І це важливо. Бо ми говоримо про конкретні речі, бо ми отримали це не грошима, а зброєю. Ми зброї отримали на 70 з чимось мільярдів. Є навчання, тренування, є додаткові транспорт, є не тільки ціну на зброю, були гуманітарні програми, соціальні тощо. Але коли говорять, що Україна під час війни отримала 200 мільярдів на підтримку армії тощо, це неправда. Я не знаю, де всі ці гроші.
So this is all just very easy to see now. What's happening is our taxpayer dollars, again, we're almost $37 trillion in debt, are being sent over, being sent to numerous locations for numerous initiatives, some NGOs, some not, doesn't matter, because all we've talked about right now are NGOs. Sometimes it's not NGOs, it can be other things too. It's just covert money. It's titled one thing, but it goes somewhere else. Now, Volodymyr Zelensky is doing butt covering, but he's also revealing things because he himself has benefited from the billions of dollars. He himself now is a billionaire, and he's buying up properties all around the globe, including one in Florida, which we're going to go over in just a minute here. But all it is disguising money. I always like to make sure that I set the precedent correctly. It's disguising our money for, you know, under whatever disguise it is. Again, just use Ukraine for an example. For Ukraine weapons to fight off the evil Vladimir Putin, and for the sake of democracy, even though Ukraine's not a democracy. But really what it's being funneled to is other Democratic Party or leftist bourgeois elitist organizations and individuals around the globe. And those people become millionaires being paid by these NGOs, and then they make campaign co-donations. themselves and their NGOs make campaign donations all to leftists and Democrats. Interesting video here from George Webb breaking down Ukraine. Listen to what's actually happening in Florida. Play for me.
Okay, hello everyone. George Webb back here near Key Wade Island. We're going to be going up this channel to Key Wade Island in a few minutes. We're going to be breaking down Ukraine today. Everything from Zelensky's $35 million house there in Sunny Isles near Roger Stone's house, actually, near Hollywood, Florida, near where Bernie Wisenant washed up on the beach. It's all the things you've learned about in the series. Let's see, who's sending the $12 million a month to Zelensky? A guy named Pinchuk, Viktor Pinchuk. Have we ever heard that name before? A guy named Kolomoisky, a guy named Akhmetov, all the names you know and love. The only name that we don't have on there is the one other oligarch we've talked about. But we've talked about yachts. Remember yachts with the phone call with Victoria Nuland, Robert Kagan's wife there at the State Department with the Biden BlackBerry, saying, let's flip this thing. Let's flip this thing. Let's put yachts in. That's the precursor to the 2014 CIA coup in Ukraine. And of course, that's negotiated as a birthday present right up this canal here. On first of the year is when they got, first of the year in 2014 is when they got this house on Key Wade and the Bidens did, built by the Ukrainian millionaires. The Ukrainian millionaires obviously built Zelensky's house. $1.3 billion in the bank account. Can you believe that? Through the Dresdner Bank. But anyway, they built this house here. They fixed it up for Joe, and they put in all the listening devices for Joe. So we're going to be going there, looking at the house. Can't go there physically by walking or driving, so we have to go by boat. So you'll see this exciting up the channel tour here in a little bit. We're going to go through all the Ukrainian oligarchs and all the drug money and all the secret bank accounts in Costa Rica with Zelensky. You're going to really get a full eyeful and earful of the Burisma, the shadow biolab. Remember Yanukovych, who gets overthrown, who makes overtures to the West by building biolabs in 2005 in Ukraine, now totaling 11, is how this thing all starts.
So there you go. So you're wondering why it is that Joe Biden is sending money to Ukraine. Well, it's for ransom payments for one thing, because it's extortion payments, one thing, because they have the dirt on Burisma and Privat Bank and Metabiota, which I don't have time to get into all that. But that's one thing. But it also, they're also building Joe Biden a house in Florida. Is this all just pure conjecture by a very good reporter named George Webb, or is it actually true? Well, we're going to find out sometime in the next couple months, because this will be revealed. If you could put up that Scottish Pope tweet for me, I appreciate it. Now, who is this? Just you know, because it's wrapped up in the collusion hoax also. But who is this Viktor Pinchuk? Let me pronounce it right. Pinchuk. Who is this guy exactly? Because this is a guy that's involved in building, along with Kolomoisky, building Joe Biden, Kolomoisky, building Joe Biden's home there with a $1.8 billion bank account or whatever he said it was. Who is this guy? Of course, also wrapped up in the collusion hoax. Scottish Pope tweet. According to reports, the IMF illegally placed funds. IMF. IMF, who's funding the rebuilding of Ukraine, and J.B. Pritzker, and who has 64 NGOs. His sister is part of the rebuilding of Ukraine. See how it all works. NGOs making Democrats rich via our taxpayer dollars. Placed funds. IMF illegally placed funds intended for Ukraine into a personal bank account of Viktor Pinchuk. Is that the bank account that George Webb was talking about that was used to build a house for Joe Biden in Florida? Viktor Pinchuk and Igor Kolomoisky, $1.8 billion, in total went to Mr. Pinchuk bank credit, I don't know what, DNPR, and Kolomoisky and Interpipe Group. There you go. That's a giant, massive symbiote. As George Collins said, it is a giant party and you and I are not invited. All right, that's it. Love you guys. I'll be back in Florida tomorrow for the podcast back at Foundation Church. Well, I'll be live. Love you guys. Appreciate you so much. I really do appreciate you so much. But anyway, I'll see you tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, Northport, Florida. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.